40 to 40, and you're hitting the accelerator, and it's going.
And that's Rodney King by Roger Gunvor Smith. That's a clip from a show. Four performances only at Artist Repertory Theater, April 21st through the 23rd, Friday through Saturday at 7:30 p.m., Sunday at 2 p.m. at Artist Rep, located at the Alder Stage, 1516 Southwest Alder Street in Portland. For tickets, call 503-241-1278 or visit artistrep.org. And I'm going to have all of that info on Stage and Studio's web pages. That's it for Stage and Studio. Thank you to engineer Tave Fashe Drake, and I'll have this show later online today at stageandstudio.org, kbu.fm/stageandstudio, as well as the podcast on iTunes, and like us on facebook.com/stageandstudio or tweet me at @stageandstudio. Till next time, I'm Dee Mae Roberts.
KBU Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBU in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certifications requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBU Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The Events Committee meets the third Thursday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
Andy Warhol, let's just scream. Hang him on.
My name is Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week are Celie Pines and Will Smith. Celie is the director of Design Week Portland, which runs April 21st, 29th, and Will Smith is with Untitled Studio. Thanks for coming into KBOO.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So this is Design Week Portland time. It's coming up April 21st, 29th. Mm-hmm. It's your fifth one, so you're mm-hmm. getting pretty good at it by now.
We try.
And it's getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
How many events this year?
There's over 220.
Mm-hmm. So that's a lot to get through. We're not going to do that. We're going to focus on what I've determined to be the highlights. And... The setup is usually 2 days of talks in a venue at the Revolution Hall on mm-hmm. on the east side, mm-hmm. and then a week of a sort of sprawling citywide events.
That's right.
Involving the design community, and that is graphic designers, architects. Who else?
Fashion designers, interior designers, landscape designers, urban designers, you name it.
Mm-hmm. And this is a good chance for... You know, it's industry networking, but the average person can go and learn something.
Absolutely. A lot of the programming is general interest, so anyone who is interested in design can learn more by attending many of the events.
Mm-hmm. And Portland's vaunted reputation as a design center, is that still true?
Yeah, I mean, there's a huge design community here. There's actually not great stats that capture design across all disciplines here to really get a sense for how many studios, how many professionals are there, because most of the statistical tracking is really specific to technology or apparel or something, mm-hmm. you know, that the city is tracking. But just anecdotally from our activities, it's a very, very large community.
Mm-hmm. And Will, just to introduce you, you're with a group called Untitled Studio, mm-hmm. but all the people in that have jobs elsewhere. So
yeah.
just there must be some energy out there that you you want to all get together on the side and do something.
Definitely. And Design Week Portland for us has been a great way to actually start interfacing with the design community in Portland. I mean, most of us graduated within the last couple of years, and when you graduate from design school, you kind of wonder, where do I go now? Mm-hmm. And thankfully, Design Week Portland does exist, and so it creates a nice venue to start plugging into things, find out what's happening around the city, and eventually get involved, which is what happened with us.
Mm-hmm. And Untitled, what does Untitled work on usually?
So Untitled Studio is a collective that has kind of emerged of people who all graduated and wanted to keep working on topics that mattered to them. And so we have a group that includes architects, urban designers, writers, furniture makers. And it's become a platform for us to talk about issues we care about. So you have your day job and you can work on certain things. And mm-hmm. then when it comes to more activist tendencies, you can work outside of that. And so Untitled Studio has become a vehicle for that.
Yeah. So in a few minutes, you're going to talk about the Green Loop and mm-hmm. what you're doing about that. That is a big part of Design Week Portland. Seely, just give us a few highlights. Maybe talk about three of the speakers who are going to be on the stage. It's $395 a ticket, which is about a couple of years worth of KBU, I think, for most listeners.
Yeah, well, so
get your work to pay.
Right, before we get into that, don't stress out about a $395 ticket, because most of what goes on at Design Week is free or low cost. But if you're interested in the conference part of what we do, the main stage, that is over 24 speakers that are coming in to talk about the state of design as it is today and this moment that we're in politically, economically, culturally, and how design can engage with the world as it is. So we have speakers coming in from all over and also a number of folks from Portland who are speaking across all disciplines to everything from virtual reality to affordable housing to diplomacy through design to, cultural appropriation and unintended consequences. And, just to highlight a few of the folks that are going to be speaking about some of those topics I just mentioned, Adele Santos is coming from Boston to talk about global affordable housing and some of the challenges and opportunities there.
Who is Adele Santos?
So she used to be at MIT. She runs her own practice, and she has done a lot of work around the world and has some pretty specific ideas about how to be more context aware, where projects are being developed for affordable housing, and how to do it as efficiently as possible from an economic standpoint while still providing really long-lasting solutions. So she has a really impressive track record, a lot of mind share on the topic. And the degree to which that's going to really inform some of the challenges that we have here in Portland remains to be seen, because of course the U.S. is its own challenging context for affordable housing compared to developing countries, but certainly bringing that global awareness here I think is really vital. And then
will she be talking about first worlders building houses in the third world, that kind of thing?
She's going to be touching on a number of topics. I think, there have been a number of recent events on the West Coast, including the ghost ship fire in Oakland, and of course, a lot of the challenges that we have in Portland with houselessness that I think she will be touching on. But truly, a lot of the work that she's doing now doesn't really relate to developed countries and those contexts. She's thinking more about, areas where you can get a lot done on $10,000, and so she'll be talking about some of her more recent projects abroad.
Mm-hmm. Who's this guy, Charlie Brown? He's talking about politics and engagement and activism.
Yeah.
But he's a designer. Like, what's the connection there?
Yeah. So Context Partners, which is his studio, does a lot of work with both companies and with social good organizations in thinking about how to galvanize their base. And so they've done quite a bit of thinking about the architecture of movements. What is a successful movement? What are the different roles in those movements? And is, I think, going to be addressing the question that a lot of people have on their mind, which is, what's my role to play in the current landscape? What are the opportunities, and how do we get to a place of critical mass? I think one of the things that we risk right now is the exhaustion of, feeling like the effort that is being put into protesting and resisting isn't doing anything. The feeling that, maybe as one person, you can't necessarily have that much of an impact. And I think what's going to be interesting about his talk is getting a perspective, looking back at successful social movements and applying them to what we're seeing happening today, as far as, how can we continue to contribute to get to that place where there is an undeniable mass of influence that will change what's happening.
So another speaker is going to talk about virtual reality, which is my flavor of the month.
Yes, it's everyone's flavor of the month. There's there's a lot of content around virtual reality throughout the festival. Thomas Wester is going to be speaking about it on the main stage, and he's been doing a lot of work with Oregon Storyboard that's been investing quite a bit into thinking about applications for mixed realities in education and in areas beyond entertainment. And he's been doing a lot of passion projects thinking about applications of virtual reality in cultural work. So I think he most recently was doing some work with a dance company and thinking about how to bring that element into performance. And his approach to the talk, I think, is going to be less of the sort of gee whiz, techie, like, wow kind of content that you see a lot around virtual reality, and is going to be more about, okay, so we're entering into this phase where mixed reality is just kind of a new fact on the ground pretty soon here. And how do we locate ourselves in these various realities? How do you stay engaged in what we consider to be real, but also find ourselves in these other realms? And how do we move through those spaces, and what kind of cultural impact does it have that we are?
I think we're all used to that from big video games, World of Warcraft, and then just online social media, feeling you're in a big group all the time. But you're saying with VR, he's going to talk about that, because that's like a more visual thing, right? You're blocking out everything to be in this world.
There's versions of it where you're blocking everything out, and then there's versions of it where you're mixing things together,
right? Things pop up.
Things are augmented.
On your glasses.
It's that sort of the promise of the Minority Report interface, right? So I think what's so interesting about Thomas, he's done a lot of work in the digital space, is kind of always trying to work on that cutting edge, but he is very moored in historical knowledge about environment and what works in the real world. And a lot of the paradigms that we have in the digital realm are basically rehashes of things that are centuries old.
Like what?
So he did a talk actually for Creative Mornings a few years ago that was really fascinating about these kind of old technologies and also old approaches to space, even paradigms from architecture that make their way into digital products, and that things that you see all the way back to, you know, the 14th, 15th century, are essentially the same paradigms that we are working through in digital spaces. And, you know, the variable there, the constant variable there is humans. I mean, humans are, I think, always seeking the same sort of, they have the same needs. You know, we have the same needs for engagement. We have the same sense of scale and proportion, no matter what environment we're in.
Are you talking about doors and windows here?
Yeah, I mean, it can be anything from being in a space and having a sense of scale to your relationship to other humans. And I think you see that in the VR space very much. Like, you'll see a lot of the problems that we have in the real world make their way into the virtual world. So things like sexual harassment that happen in the real world are still happening in the virtual world. And the degree to which humans are drawn to the same behaviors, whether good or bad, doesn't change based on where we locate ourselves.
Mm-hmm. My name is Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week are Celie Pines. She's the director of Design Week Portland, which runs from April 21st to 29th at various venues, and Will Smith. He's with Untitled Studio. So, Will, there's this thing, the 2035 plan. The city is once how the city wants the city to look in the future. There's mm-hmm. talk of this green loop, mm-hmm. which would be some kind of bike walk loop between the west side and the east side. Mm-hmm. And then that's out there, sort of, as an idea. And Untitled sat down and had some ideas about how it should look. And if people go to this, the Red, one of the venues, they can see some of that and hear you talking about it. Is that correct?
Right. So exactly 1 year ago during Design Week Portland last year, there was a competition put on by Design Week Portland and the John Yon Center at the U of O called Loop PDX. And the goal was to take this concept that the Bureau of Planning Sustainability has come up with of the green loop and play it out and see what that could be. And so we ended up winning that competition and then spent the last year thinking on how to develop it, and we merged with Design Week Portland's headquarters this year to push our idea and just show what the green loop is. And so our concept that we'll be kind of unveiling at the exhibition is what we're calling the Portland Mosaic, which is applicable to the green loop but could also be applied elsewhere. And earlier we were talking about this idea of movement building, and it's very much what the mosaic is about, of taking something that is otherwise very large and systemic, like a green loop, which seems kind of beyond the scale of a person, and start breaking it down to a more human and community-based scale, so that depending on the scale of the community you identify with, whether it's the city, the district, the neighborhood, or the block, you can kind of take ownership over part of it and develop it in your own way. So at the exhibition, what we're going to do is show you what the green loop is, where it is, show you how this mosaic idea works, and then ask people to start interacting with that mosaic idea. We have, I think, we'll have 30 variations of what the green loop could be, and then people are invited to actually start saying where it could be, like what, and why it could be like that.
What is the idea of the mosaic? Is it the people are the little tiles, or...?
Yeah, the easiest way to explain it is typically urban green projects are these kind of single design things that are continuous for a certain length. Everything on it is the same, and you know you're there because of that characteristic. And when we started thinking about Portland, what makes Portland special isn't that it's all the same. It's that different neighborhoods have done different things, that different artists or designers in different areas have come up with their own ideas that makes a certain spot special. So with the mosaic, we've broken it down, the street, the green loop, into these four segments that are the city, district, neighborhood, and block. And then a neighborhood gets to decide what its part of the green loop is like. A block gets to decide what its part of the green loop is like. And so Portland is kind of well known nationally and internationally from an urban design standpoint of having these very bottom-up efforts. And what we're trying to do is create a top-down framework that allows bottom-up activity throughout mm-hmm. the city. And the reality is that there could be many more green loops throughout the city, you know, far out east and far out west. And so we'd like to, as much as possible, embed a value system in that now that can proliferate elsewhere beyond the green loop.
Okay. Yeah, there's actually two different levels of the exhibition, because one of the portions of the exhibition is going to be getting people to understand specifically in the 2035 plan that you mentioned what the green loop in that plan consists of. What's the route? Mm-hmm. In broad terms, it's, you know, connecting the inner east and west side for a pedestrian and bike loop. Well, where does it run? You know, mm-hmm. it runs down the park blocks. It's proposed to run down 6th or 7th Avenue.
6th or 7th on the east side?
On the east mm-hmm. side.
Okay. Right. So it's pretty close.
It's very loop. Close in.
Very close in.
In.
Yeah. Broadway Bridge up above, Tillicum Crossing down below. And so, right, the first thing we want to establish is here's what the green loop is and its extents. And then we kind of want to take you a little bit beyond that. Of like, okay, could we come up with an idea for the green loop that could apply to other neighborhoods? Because a lot of people, they might hear about the green loop and think, oh, that's not for me. I don't live there. The reality is a lot of people use the central city. So you might, you mm-hmm. know, you might be commuting to work and end up on the green loop for part of it. Or you might have family visiting, so you take them to the green loop. Mm-hmm. But later on, there might be a loop going through your neighborhood or where you work. And so if you come to the exhibition, you can start pointing out what you like or don't like about what the green loop could be.
And is your idea that you don't think the design of this loop should be a top down, you know, a design firm
exactly.
designs it and slaps it down and
exactly.
you're stuck with it. Mm-hmm. At least the local people within that block can have a bit of a say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the idea actually that's really nice about the mosaic concept is that there is a place for that top down piece, right? The outer ring of that loop could be some sort of urban design piece mm-hmm. like a type of tree or something that would give a sense of continuity to that loop. So there would be that one thing that keeps it all related together. But as you move in to those rings that are closer and closer to the center, it gets more and more and more specific to the place, to the point where in the innermost ring, a block gets to decide what's happening on that block, in much the same way that, you know, City Repair has done a lot of work with communities in Portland to draw those
paint
those intersections,
yeah.
You know, like in Sunnyside, it has
the sort of colorful
those
paintings
colorful,
on the ground.
Yeah, exactly, where those neighborhoods have gotten together and agreed to that design and have implemented that design. There's, you know, a place in this concept for that kind of grassroots engagement.
Mm-hmm. Is that different? Don't other cities do that?
Well, typically, and this is what's exciting to us, is that typically you have one scale for a project. You know, there will be the City Repair project, which is the painted intersection that happens by itself. And then a city will decide we're going to do a waterfront. And so then that waterfront is this massive, huge project that all has one character. And you rarely have them together. And in fact, we couldn't think of any examples of that happening together. So for Portland, it seems like a really good fit that you could have both. You can have this top-down framework that creates the room for communities to actually infill and come up with what they think is most important.
Mm-hmm.
And the other, I mean, right now there is this interesting thing happening in Portland of people are getting a little bit fatigued when it comes to public, quote unquote, engagement processes. Mm-hmm. Neighborhoods are feeling like they're not being heard. Then you talk to the city and they're saying, we're trying so hard to get feedback right now. So there's this kind of interesting disconnect happening where the city will typically ask large groups of people, very large groups. Like the 2035 master plan is a huge segment of the population. So the feedback you get is pretty generalized. It kind of all slushes together and you get sustainability. And so then you get a quote unquote sustainable loop. So we don't think that's bad. We think that's still good because you want to unify people over something. But then you also want to get more specific than that, maybe at the block scale, and ask people what matters right here just to you and mm-hmm. maybe not to the next block or not the next neighborhood. And they can do that, and they can actually feel a sense of ownership over it, and they'll take care of it because they came up with it.
And what kind of things would people pick at the block level, like speed bumps and murals?
Well, murals, definitely. Speed bumps, I don't think that's one of our 30. But other ones could include an outdoor education area. It could be a community garden. It could be a tool exchange. It could be games. It could be an outdoor bar. At the exhibition, we'll have 30 options, so you can start playing through them. At the larger scale, they'll be more general. It'll be like, we want, you know, Portland is about culture, or Portland is about ecology. Then as you get down to the district and neighborhood, it'll start getting more specific until you're down to the block, and it's very literal what the thing is.
Right.
And so we'll have drawings of what these are. We'll have models of what these are to make them very literal to people, and they can understand exactly what these mean. And then they can go around and start saying, I care most about this in this place.
And this is visible at the RED, R-E-D-D. It's yep. 831 Southeast Salmon.
That's right.
That's an EcoTrust kind of spin-off.
Yeah, so the EcoTrust has a little campus there. They have two buildings side by side. The RED, the Foundry, is the first building that they purchased. Across the street, they have another building where they're actively doing their food distribution program. And so they are very graciously lending us that space for the second half of April to install this installation and then have the public invited in. We're going to be running over 20 events at our headquarters at the RED throughout the week to really give lots of opportunities for people to come and engage with this exhibition and then experience a piece of content that touches on urban design or is otherwise just a gathering social space. There are also workshops and charrettes happening. PBOT is doing some pretty specific charrettes in there, but also we're having some pretty accessible workshops for folks to engage in lots of really interesting questions that range from, you know, engagement strategies to branding strategies.
That's and all within the RED.
All within the RED.
So the talks are at Revolution Hall. Mm-hmm. This other stuff is at the RED. And then across the city, you have these 200 things going on, which are talks, and you've got like the open house, which I think is amazing.
Right.
One segment of the city, all the design firms open up, and you can go and look around their offices and
That's
see what
right.
the work is on a particular night.
Yeah. So the overall structure of the festival is, as you said, 2 days of the main stage, the 21st and 22nd. Then we have a big party that closes out the main stage and kicks off the independent mm-hmm. festival.
That's Friday the 22nd.
Yeah, it's Saturday the 22nd. It's at the RED. So that's going to be our sort of big launch. Then that kicks into the festival, which is the over 200 events and open houses that you mentioned. Open houses are divided by quadrant in order to encourage sort of a design crawl. So from Tuesday to Friday, that's the 25th, I believe. What's that? 23rd, 24th. Yes, 25th to the 28th. Every afternoon from 4 to 7 p.m., we have people in the quadrant open their doors. You can go see maker spaces and studios. Some of the retail locations are having, you know, sort of product launches and things going on there. And it's a really good opportunity to just get into spaces and speak to designers and get a glimpse behind the scenes at how they work.
Mm-hmm.
But then we also have, as you mentioned, lectures and screenings and workshops and panels, all kinds of things happening. At headquarters specifically, there's four programs a day. We have a lunchtime program happening that's usually oriented towards workshops. And then at 4 o'clock, we have a happy hour each day that centers around a different topic. Everything from, you know, beer label design to the design of a political campaign. Chloe Udaly and the team of people that she worked with on her campaign are going to be doing a really interesting talk about that. Then we have an evening program, and actually Untitled Studio is going to be involved in a number of those evening programs talking about the history of Portland's urban design and the future of urban design in Portland. And then we have late night programs, most of which are really fun, everything from an open drawing event where there's going to be a DJ and lots of people sketching, to Adam Garcia, who you know, doing an experimental talk show where he brings on all kinds of different folks to perform. We're even doing something called PowerPoint karaoke, where people see a slide deck they've never seen before and they have to present it. So there's all kinds of really fun stuff
Whose
happening.
Whose idea was that?
It's actually an established program that's run elsewhere before, and we're kind of bringing it here. Yeah.
So designers have their own sense of humor.
Yeah, we do.
There's two other big interesting things. The Rothko Pavilion that they're going to build at the Portland Art Museum.
Yes.
Someone's going to try and explain what that's going to look like.
Yeah, so Second Story is involved in that, I believe. They're running an event there where they're going to have a sort of series of rapid-fire presentations about, you know, Portland and the design landscape. And then they're going to run a workshop that they promise won't just be a series of post-it notes, where there will be a lot of engaging activities to sort of imagine what the Rothko Pavilion could be.
And then Airbnb, everyone's favorite little unicorn.
Yeah.
What are they doing here?
So they're bringing in their CMO and their head of design to do an event and also to do a tour of their new office space. So I think it's a rare opportunity to get behind closed doors there and hear from some of the highest up executives talking about their design approach and philosophy.
My name is Joseph Galvan. You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week are Celie Pines, the director of Design Week Portland, and Will Smith from Untitled Studio. They were talking about Design Week Portland, which runs from April 21st to 29th at venues across the city. And look on the website, it's designweekportland.com. Thanks for coming into KBOO.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great.
Good afternoon, KBOO listeners.